There have been some people who have come to me lately and questioned me on certain things in the Bible, and one of the most important things that they asked about was, I don't understand. If God forgives your sin, why is there such a thing as an unpardonable sin? Now, I was ready and loaded for this question. And I'm not going to tell you what I told them just yet, but I'm going to get into the message that I have named the unpardonable sin and ask if you'd follow along. Perhaps you were in such a situation as well. Well, we know we learn from what others say to us and from what God says to us, and we compare them. Of course, everything that God says is the truth, but what your best friend is telling you might always be so, or he might be ignorant of the fact of what he is discussing. You got me on that? Okay, we'll leave it there for now. But anyway, I call my message the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin. Now, if you're like I used to be concerning the subject matter in today's message, then may I suggest you stay tuned and listen very carefully. Very carefully. Okay? The subject today will hopefully, and excuse the phrasing, but the subject today will hopefully scare the hell out of you. I call it, of course, the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin. I'll say a short prayer and then we'll get into the meat of the matter, okay? Lord God, thank you for this another message you've laid on my heart. I pray, Lord, that the words I speak today, Lord, will be agreeable to you. And I pray, Lord, that they'll find lodging in needy hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would bless Battle Site for Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless the Just Jesus Network, Lord, where these messages are heard every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And Lord God, I pray that souls will wing their way toward thee, Lord, because of what is said in this message, and that things will be clarified the way you want them to. For I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The unpardonable sin. Well, well, well. Well, when I tell you there's a sin that's unpardonable, now what's the first thing that comes to your mind? That's kind of scary. You mean I've been thinking all along that all my sins were under the blood of Christ? Well, now I find out there's one that ain't? Oh, woe is me. Whatever can that be? And he thought that all his sins were nailed to the cross. Well, they were. Stay tuned. Holy cow, holy mackerel. You've heard those sayings, haven't you, all through your life? At one time or another, holy mackerel, holy cow. Well, we don't know if there is such a thing, but anyway, some people use those words to express themselves when they're deeply surprised, caught by surprise, or they just don't know what else to throw in there, okay? Now, another one is, I'm a goner. I'm a goner. I said that many times, especially when I got caught doing something I shouldn't be doing. I'm a goner. I'm a lost cause. I've been hoodwinked. Whoa, woe is me. Now, hold on there. Just hold on. The news ain't all bad. No, it isn't. Let you and me, do a little investigating. Okay? Okay. First of all, first and foremost, what is this unpardonable sin? What is the unpardonable sin? Well, I'm glad you asked. Pull up a stool or a chair. And better still, make that an easy chair. Okay? I won't take up much of your time, but I guarantee you that when I'm finished, you'll have a clue, at least, about the unpardonable sin. Okay? The unpardonable sin, you ask. Now, what's going on here? Wasn't God's grace sufficient and good enough? Wasn't it? Even for the unpardonable sin, whatever that is. And what's that got to do with the cross of Christ? Did he not die for all our sins? Huh? Did he not die for all of our sins? Well, firstly, we need to know and to recognize what is the unpardonable sin, right? Matthew. In the book of Matthew, okay, I'm going to Matthew. Jesus, now, excuse me just one second. The book of Matthew, yeah, Jesus has healed many. However, the Pharisees, them's the bad guys now, are accusing Jesus of casting out devils by, here comes the name, Beelzebub. Beelzebub, who is the prince of devils. That's what they're accusing Jesus of doing. Using Beelzebub, the prince of devils, to cast out sins. Now, let us read a few verses, okay, so we can get anchored in what direction we're really going here and how God is going to handle it for us. All right? Beginning at verse 26 in Matthew 12. Okay. And if Satan cast out Satan, well, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Okay? Now, let's move down to verse 31. You ready? Verse 31. Now, you can go over this again and pick up the loose ends, okay? Verse 31. I only have so much time. Okay. Okay. Verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man. Unto men. Okay? But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. Now he's talking to the Jews. Still talking to the Jews here, okay? All right, let's go ahead now and see what's happening. What's around the corner? Verse 32. Listen very carefully. Verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, and neither in the world to come. Okay? So we know what the unforgivable sin is. It's speaking blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Okay? We know that now, right? What it is. Okay, we're going to labor on it a bit, so stay tuned, okay? Now, what we have witnessed here, actually, is similar to the witchcraft of today. To the witchcraft of today. For example, a witch doctor in a, say, a tribal situation, perhaps in isolation, off the beaten path. Locals usually in, when locals are usually in jungle environments, you know, they get kind of caught up in these things, and sometimes they're attracted to what their rituals are all about, not really knowing for sure what the outcome might be, okay? Now, for example, you recall now our dear brother Jim Elliot, who brought the gospel to the jungle of South America, okay? Now, as we know, Brother Jim was slain by tribesmen. He was slain by tribesmen. It is believed this was the result of Jim's attempt to bring Christ to the natives. All right? As pre-mentioned in the biblical scenario, it was the Pharisees who opposed Christ over his great healings and attributed such to who? What's that funny long name again? To Beelzebub, the prince of devils, right? Okay. We have that established. Now, stay tuned. What seems to be unveiling by what we are told, is not only the rejection, not only the rejection of Christ's healing power, but more so, attributing such power to Satan, the devil, right? Not only rejecting Jesus, but attributing his great power to that of the devil. Wow. Now, look carefully at verse 28 with what Jesus is saying. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now, not only did the Pharisees refuse the great light, and this is so important, but they gave credit of God's healing power to, yes, that long-winded guy, Beelzebub, or to Satan, right? That's where they gave the credit. When someone rejects the light and gives credit to Satan, then his heart becomes hardened. So hardened, it is closed to future revelation of truth. Now, what you are hearing and seeing, maybe, is a classic example of good versus evil, right? Good versus evil. And those are the two opposites, right? The two main opposites in everyone's life, good versus evil. Okay? Now, it is something not to believe in the power and the greatness of God, but it's another thing to accuse the Holy Spirit of falling short of his Godhead. Of his Godhead. Okay? So, are you worried that you may have committed the unpardonable sin? I mean, there was a time I was on that train too, you know. Are you worried? It's been suggested that the unpardonable sin cannot be committed today because Jesus Christ is no longer physically present upon the earth. That has been suggested. I, for one, will not venture to explore such. I'm going to leave that up to you. Ask your pastor, ask any theologian, and see what kind of response you will get. That's not the crux of my message, okay? All right. What shall we say, then, concerning a hardness of the heart? What shall we say? Is such hardness not the result of unbelief? When you deny Christ, you're hardening your heart. When you say, well, I don't think I believe in what went on at Calvary and all that foolishness and everything, you know, your heart is hardened. And when your heart is hardened, oh, watch out. Watch out. It's either the heart is hardened and that is a result of unbelief, or, and this is a question now, is it necessary to cast your beliefs upon someone else, like your own Beelzebub? Huh? Everybody has a Beelzebub in their closet. Sorry to say. Should we not look around us? Now look, here we go now. I'm going to wander a bit here. What about Elvis? You know Elvis Presley? What about the Beatles? The list goes on and on. Now, I know of people who virtually worship the ground that Michael Jackson walked on. Or Prince. Or some other idol. What about them? So much so that a relationship, I'm talking, you know, the worshiping of these idols, it goes so much that a relationship with Christ is second at best. Second at best. Now, is this even comparable to the unpardonable sin? When you worship another idol, whether it be a physical idol or whether it be a non-physical idol, do not these idol worshippers put their own above that which is holy? If you were to worship the Beatles more than anything else in the world, then you're worshiping something that is not holy, instead of worshiping that which is holy. And that's simplifying it. In other words, if you have an idol on this earth, and Jesus is not in your mind matter whatsoever, that's your idol, right? But if you bring Jesus into your way of thinking, if you give your life over to Christ and you still worship these idols, you know what? You just might not be saved. You just might not be saved. Worship, in a nutshell, worship belongs only to the things of God. Okay? You can't worship anything upon this earth and say, I've done a good thing, or this is what I'm supposed to do. All right? It's the unpardonable sin. Only possible in the physical presence of Jesus Christ. You know, it's an insult to the cross. The most severe insult you could possibly give when you choose another idol over Christ or before Christ. It really is. Does a desire to be saved, tell me, does a desire to be saved completely nullify the possibility of committing the unpardonable sin? Does it? Well, it's been said that anyone who fears even committing such a sin, the unpardonable sin, could not have committed it, or he would not have that fear. Okay? I'm going to say that over. This is very important concerning committing the unpardonable sin, in case you are not sure. Okay? It's been said that anyone who fears even committing such a sin, the unpardonable sin, could not have committed it, or he would have, or he would not have that fear. If you have fear, in other words, of committing the unpardonable sin, and you're a Christian, a real, a true Christian, then you could not have committed that unpardonable sin, or you wouldn't be a Christian. There's a lot of these people walking around with dual identities. I'm a Christian, but I commit the unpardonable sin. Hey, you can't do both. Christ came into this world to save sinners. Right? Of course, a desire to be saved also shows a person has not committed the unpardonable sin. Now, if you've got in your heart, I believe in Jesus, I got to get saved, I want to give my life over to Christ, I believe in Calvary, I believe that Jesus suffered and died for my sins. If that's a desire of your heart, then you could not have committed the unpardonable sin. Or else you would not have a desire to be saved. Are you getting it now? Are you getting it? If you truly committed the unpardonable sin, then you won't even have a desire to seek out Jesus as your Savior. You won't even have a desire. You'll be content with what you've done. And that's why the unpardonable sin is so crucial in every walk. It's not hard to commit this sin, but it's not hard either to give your life to Christ. The choice is yours. If I were you, I'd check with my pastor or somebody else who's really knowledgeable in the Word of God. If you want more information concerning the pardonable sin, the unpardonable sin, you should. A desire to be saved also shows that a person has not committed the unpardonable sin, or you wouldn't have a desire to be saved. Have you got that? You wouldn't have that desire. Hardness of the heart. Well, it's still possible today. And it can mean rejection of Jesus Christ and quenching of the Holy Spirit. Hardness of the heart. I think we all go through it at times, some minor, some major. We have to be careful. You know what works to soften that hardness of the heart? Works for me every time. Prayer. Prayer. Pray without ceasing. Always works. Because if you feel yourself slipping, it doesn't mean you can lose your salvation. It just means that you can lose a lot of blessings. Oh, a lot of blessings, yes. Rejection of Jesus Christ leaves the unpardoned sinner hopeless for all eternity. So if you reject Christ, I mean, you're not even going to care about the unpardonable sin. You're just lost completely. Completely. Now you might say, well, maybe I'll make a decision later on in life. Well, now that you know, and you're going to put it off until maybe when you're on your deathbed, guess what? Deathbed confessions don't always work. You see, God looks upon the heart. And He knows what's going on in yours. So don't, on your dying breath, say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry, please, let me into your kingdom. You know what? I very much doubt that God is going to say, come on aboard, child. I very much doubt it. You can't mock God. Be careful. Be careful. Rejection of Jesus Christ leaves the unpardoned sinner hopeless for all eternity. If we look in Luke, in the book of Luke 13, we read of Jesus teaching on his journey through the cities and the villages on his way to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus gives final warning in verse 28. Okay? Luke 13, verse 28. Read it for yourself. But here's what Jesus says. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Oh no! Thrust out! What a terrible thought! But that's right from the Word of God. Oh, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Guaranteed. Guaranteed you will grit your teeth. You will know what gritting your teeth is then. My friends, God will not turn away any soul who trusts in Jesus Christ, in His Son. He won't. Tell me, will you be in that number when the roll is called? Will you? God's plan of salvation is so simple to understand. Even a child can understand it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. You might say, oh yeah, I believe that Christ existed. He walked the earth and all that. That's not it. You haven't gone far enough. You have to believe in what happened at Calvary. Right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the key to salvation. Okay? It's that simple. It's that easy. Jesus took upon Himself our sin at the cross. He who was without sin became sin for us. Won't you think on these things which you have heard today? Won't you? 1 John 5:13 clearly explains, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay? I'll end with this food for thought. I'll close. If you truly believe, if you truly believe there is a thing, such a thing as the unpardonable sin, then you will never, never commit it. You got that? Because if you truly believe it, fear will envelop your heart and you will not go against what the Word of God says. You will believe. But if you don't believe that, don't even try to get saved. It ain't going to work. You're calling God a liar. There is an unpardonable sin. There is. Okay? I want to thank you for listening, and I ask that God will bless you in the days ahead, and if you're not sure about your salvation, you can either write me on my battle site for Christ, or you can call the radio station as Just Jesus Radio, and I'm sure they'd be glad to give you the answers you seek. Okay? I'll be talking to you again next week, good Lord willing. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.